Hello, I'm Elizabeth Dawes Gay, and this is a segment of the Faces of Poverty podcast series from the Leadership Institute Fellows at the Center for American Progress. Poverty remains a challenge around the world, and often its biggest victims are women and children. This segment focuses on poverty in other nations and the urgent need to address maternal and newborn health in countries facing conflict and natural disasters. To talk about this, we have an international advocate involved in highlighting children's health issues and crises, Bernice Romero, Senior Director for Public Policy and Advocacy at Save the Children. I understand that Save the Children each year publishes a report around Mother's Day. Can you tell us a little bit about this year's report and your findings?
Sure, thank you. This year's State of the World's Mothers Report looks at the impact of humanitarian crises on maternal, newborn, and child survival in countries that are consistently ranked as the most difficult places to be a mother. It includes an annual Mothers Index ranking 178 countries, which assesses the well-being of mothers and looks in detail at the situation of mothers in four countries which have or are experiencing armed conflict or natural disasters, namely Syria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Philippines, and the United States. The hardest hit families in any disaster, be it natural or man-made, tend to be the poorest of the poor and mostly women and children. The report illustrates how better and more targeted investments in women and girls work and urgently need to be scaled up further in many contexts, especially those facing chronic crises, conflict, and natural disasters. This is crucial to improving mothers' and children's chances of survival, well-being, and prosperity.
So, Bernice, why focus on mothers and specifically on mothers in emergencies?
Quite simply, mothers are statistically the most likely to be the primary caregivers within a family. In difficult situations brought on by man-made or natural crises, the strength and resourcefulness of mothers is often the only or the main reason children survive. Mothers must often take the lead in finding ways for a family to start over and rebuild, while at the same time ensuring that their children are able to have a better future. Women who die in childbirth leave behind devastated families. Their babies usually do not survive, and those who do make it through infancy often do not make it to the age of five. All children who lose their mothers are more likely to be malnourished and impoverished. The general well-being of mothers within a country is a strong indicator pointing to the well-being of an entire nation. Why focus on crises? The reason is that each day, around 800 mothers and 18,000 young children die from largely preventable causes. Over half of these maternal and under five child deaths take place in fragile settings, which are at high risk of conflict and are often particularly vulnerable to the effects of natural disasters. Of the more than 80 million people projected to be in need of humanitarian assistance this year, the majority are deeply impoverished and over three quarters are women and children. Mothers and children face the highest risks of death, the steepest roads to recovery in crisis situations. Their vulnerability to disease, malnutrition, poverty, and violence greatly increase, while their chances of obtaining an education are reduced.
So, given that some countries have been in conflict for literally decades, is it naive to think that we can really do anything that will make a difference?
No, it's not naive. Too often, because a conflict appears to be intractable or protracted, we think that the situation of mothers and children will invariably worsen until there is peace, and that it will take decades, even generations, to readdress this. But progress in countries like Afghanistan or Nepal over the past few years suggest that improvement is possible, even while there is armed fighting or soon after the guns fall silent. Better, concerted, and targeted investments in mothers and children may also help tackle some of the underlying causes of a conflict. At the same time, reducing mothers' vulnerability to natural disasters means lessening the impact of these disasters on communities as a whole.
Why focus on investing in mothers in conflict situations? Would resources not be better used trying to solve the actual conflict?
That's a false choice. I mean, clearly you have to pursue both. The direct violent impact of armed conflict is obvious, but you have to remember that for every person killed directly by armed violence, up to 15 others die indirectly from diseases, medical complications, and malnutrition. Health services are often disrupted, attacked, or looted, while food and medical supplies are cut off. Women fleeing conflict may have to give birth on the run without even the most basic items for a clean or safe delivery. The prevalence of violence against women and children in many conflict settings is alarming. Our research and programming show that children often make up the majority of victims of sexual violence during conflict. Of the 28 countries that have ever ranked in the bottom 10 of our Mothers Index, all but four have a recent history of armed conflict. Today, violence and conflict have uprooted more families than at any time on record, with armed fighting in more than 20 countries directly affecting over 170 million people. The majority of those who are injured, displaced, killed, or who have survived and witnessed terrible acts of violence are moms and kids. Ensuring that mothers and children's well-being and chances of survival are improved, even during armed conflict, will not mean the conflict is more intractable. If anything, it'll make things better, and it means a better chance of achieving peace.
So, Bernice, you talked about how countries rank in the Mothers Index. I'm curious about the U.S. How did we rank, and why?
The U.S. ranks 31st on this year's index. The index is comprised of five indicators, and although the U.S. performs very well on economic and educational status, 8th and 14th best in the world, it lags behind all other top-ranked countries on maternal health. It's 46th in the world, and on children's well-being, where it's 40th in the world. And it also performs quite poorly on political status, which it falls at 96th in the world. To elaborate, in the U.S., women face a 1 in 2,400 risk of maternal death. Only five developed countries in the world perform worse than the U.S. on this indicator. A woman in the U.S. is more than 10 times as likely as a woman in Estonia, Greece, or Singapore to eventually die from a pregnancy-related cause. In the U.S., the under-5 mortality rate is 7.1 per 1,000 live births. This is roughly on par with Bosnia and Herzegovina, Macedonia, Qatar, and Uruguay. At this rate, children in the U.S. are three times as likely as children in Iceland to die before their fifth birthday. Women hold less than 19% of seats in the U.S. Congress. More than half of all countries in the world perform better on this indicator than the U.S. 16 countries have more than double this percentage of seats occupied by women. In Finland and Sweden, for example, women hold 43 and 45% of parliamentary seats, respectively. In Rwanda, women hold 58% of seats. So all in all, it's actually kind of shocking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any lasting comments or words of wisdom you'd like to impart to our audience?
I think the main message is a negative message, which is that women, newborns, and children are among the most vulnerable in emergencies and in longer-term chronic crises. But the positive message is that if we make targeted investments in ongoing development aid and in emergency response that really looks at the specific needs of mothers and newborns, we've seen that there is progress and that lives can be improved and lives can be saved.
Investing in mothers works. Maternal deaths and child mortality in the most challenging countries of the world are being dramatically cut when efforts are made to improve services for mothers and children. The health and survival needs of women and children in fragile and conflict-affected countries are not intractable problems. Solutions exist. Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Pakistan, Burkina Faso all have examples of improving care during pregnancy and childbirth. Political commitments combined with investments of resources and prioritization of mothers and newborns can make the change. Well, Bernice, I'd like to thank you for your time and your expertise. To our audience, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.